Tonight I want to talk to you about signs of spiritual renewal. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read six verses of Scripture, verse 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Beginning in verse 14, you know, from time to time, folks, in our Christian experience, now are y'all with me? As Brother Bill Sturm would say, I want y'all to listen up and I want to get you to thinking like I believe the Lord would have us think. And saying the Sturms, let me just mention to you folks, you know, Brother Bill and Miss Martha didn't stay with us too long. They went to glory. And then it wasn't long ago that their daughter Susie went to heaven. And then Susie's first husband, who is the father of the two daughters, he died this past week. And we think of that family and think of what they meant to us. But as we think our hearts around the subject matter, our spiritual life has ebb and flow to it. Now, you can talk all day about, well, you know, we all just run a full 10 on the Richter scale all the time. I don't know of anybody that does that because we're not glorified. Folks, there's some missing pieces in my life and yours. And God, who is so merciful to us, who, as I mentioned this morning, has begun the good work, and he's going to perform it until he calls us home or Jesus comes back, is a God who works in the lives of people who on certain days are not all they should be, and who on certain days show this aspect of misgiving in your life. On this day, you may show some other deficient part of your life, but God, who is committed to your sanctification and ultimately your glorification, is involved with you, wants to be involved with you, and wants you involved with him to accomplish his sovereign purpose of redemption. Redemption means that God intended one day to save you, and he did, if you are a Christian. Amen. God, who saved you one day, is in the process of working in you. And the Bible says all that he justified, he finally sanctifies. And all that he sanctifies, the book of Romans says, he finally glorifies. And this program of redemption started before the world ever began in the heart of God. It didn't start in my heart. It started in his heart. And so as this process works out of our lives, there are times that we kind of, I don't like to use the phrase hit bottom, but we're kind of going down in a valley. And we may be going down in a valley because we've walked through any number of issues. I don't even want to begin to try to give you a list of what some of those are, but I think you understand what they are. You go in a morning and your boss says, look, we like you, you've done a good job, but times are changing and we're having to make some cuts, and I'm going to send you back home with so much severance pay because your job is being done away with. Goodbye. In that moment, you still are saved, you're still a Christian, you still want to follow Jesus, but you just had a gut punch. And you don't probably leave saying, ha, 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 praise God, I was praying this morning, I might lose my job. I doubt you're going to do that. You're going to walk out of there a person of faith, hopefully thinking, if you don't say it, dear God, I wasn't expecting this. I don't understand it, but I have this consolation. You do. You could have a time when you go, just a little matter, the doctor just saw something, said don't think anything to it, won't get it checked, and you go have it checked, and he comes back and says, this old ugly C word, cancer. And folks, you took a gut punch. Lord, what are you doing? I don't know what this amounts to, but Lord, I have consolation that you do. So help me in the midst of this trial to find what your purpose is so I don't waste this opportunity, but exhibit my faith in the midst of this so that people will know that what you are doing in my life, I may be as clueless as anyone, but I am not clueless that you're in charge and you're going to see me through this one way or another. I shared a brief note on the Wednesday night prayer list that I had talked to Brother Charles Garrett the other day and talked to Miss Alice too. And when I talked to her one day and I said, do you suppose there's time tomorrow when he's available? Does he feel like talking? She said, absolutely, and he would love that. Now, he's weak, but he'd love that. So I called the next day at the time we talked about doing it. And when he came on the phone, if you'd have been a betting person, you'd have bet your farm there ain't a thing in a world wrong with that guy. He talked as spirited as anybody you've ever heard in your life. His outward man is perishing, but his inward man, I've never known to have more renewal in it. Now, I don't know, folks, whether I have that or not. I don't know if you think you have it or not. But I'm telling you, the God of all grace has a grace for me and you to be called upon continually. I don't mean every day. I'm talking about multiple times throughout the day, because my need at 8 o'clock in the morning might not be my need at 10 o'clock. And the God of all grace, who is my Father, who, as Jesus taught us, called on His Father that He might do His Father's will, He taught us that in that moment, whether it's the ebb or the flow, we can call on the Father, and the Father will help us and give us by His Spirit what we need in that moment, so that we don't come dragging in with the mully grubs and nothing is good with nobody and nothing, and we end up cynics. We think because this guy's bad who does this, everybody does that, it's bad. I may have told you one time, I'll never tell where that was, it wasn't here, but I heard a guy say to a man in the church who had carried the mail, he said, "You know, I really don't like you." He didn't crack a smile. And the guy said, "You don't?" And he said, "No, when I was a boy, the mailman ran over my dog, and I've never liked a mailman since." And that would be funny, but he wasn't joking. Folks, it took killing one dog to make him a cynic, and he's written off all mailmen. Isn't that pitiful? Now, if a lost person does that, I have no criticism of it. Remember, lost people don't have a God. They don't know a God. They are a God unto themselves. And I would consider that behavior typically and accurately normal for a person that doesn't know God. Because remember, if there ain't no God in your heart, you're on your own. But if we say we are indwelt by the Spirit of God and we serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's got to be a way to absolutely have some spiritual renewal, and every one of us need it. And I may be a little bit filled with hyperbole to say this, but we probably need some renewal every day in some in certain areas. Now, with that said, I'm going to deal with the signs of renewal, but before I do, I want to read verse 14, 15, and the first part of verse 16 to talk to you and me about how to get help if we want to start over. Now, don't answer this publicly, but is there anybody in the house that might want to start over with God? I can just think of people. I can think of people from my childhood to recently. And I'll say to Beth, that was the most wasted life for God I've ever heard tell of in my life. Man, they came out of the chute and they were going to make it to heaven if they didn't go by it. And like what we called as kids, a firecracker that was a dud, they didn't get 15 feet out and they died out. Now, folks, we've got to understand that we've got to have some help from God if we're going to have spiritual renewal. I don't mean to repeat what I said this morning, but if the Son of God, God in flesh, needed to go out a great while before day and call on His Father, and He being deity, how much more does Brother Wayne need to call on his Heavenly Father? My soul, I need to call on Him every, do you hear me, every day. So in the text of Scripture, if we're going to get God's help to start over, look at verse 14. "For this cause," the apostle writes to the Ephesian church, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." First of all, he said, "Bow my knees." That's referring to prayer. So the first thing you need to remember is you better desire enough to ask. If you're going to get help, you need to ask somebody that can help you. And I'm not opposed categorically to a psychiatrist, but he can't give you that type of help. I affirm medical doctors has been a blessing to us, but they can't help you with that. You've got to have God's help. And if you don't ask God for help, you are not desperate. If your faith is weak, or you've failed somewhere along the way, or you become cold and defeated and you're in bondage, the place you start is prayer. So the first thing to do to get God's help is desire enough to ask Him. Folks, if you don't ask it, you have not, the Scripture says, because you ask not. So ask Him. Number two, in verse 15. He said, of whom the whole family in heaven and, not just in heaven, earth is named. Now, folks, the word family is key. You not only must ask God, you need to be certain of your relationship. Are you in the family? God's family, by the way, is in two places. Tonight, some of God's family is in heaven, the rest of God's family is on earth, and none of God's family is in hell. There's nobody in hell related to God. He talks about fatherhood, family. Fathers, think with me as it works on earth. Fathers have resources that children do not have. Fathers have wisdom. Fathers have experience. Fathers bring help. Fathers can have concern. They have provisions that a child doesn't have. They can give guidance. They can give training. They can share pleasures. They can give discipline. They can give rewards. They grant fellowship to the children. And you got to be certain you have a relationship with God. And if you're not certain you have a relationship with God, you're probably not going to bow your knee and pray. Hard to pray to a God you're not sure you're related to. I don't know of anything more foundational. And then he said in the first part of verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now let me tell you what that tells us. We're going to desire enough to ask him. We're going to be certain of our relationship, but we must trust his nature. And you say, where do you get that, Pastor? Because he said in the 16th verse that he's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now that word glory that's in the 16th verse is the word that is used to describe everything that God is. He himself is the riches of his own glory. When God wants to display his glory, he shows you himself and he reveals what he's like through some circumstance. And that circumstance might be that you've gone through great hardship. How many times have I had a person say, and I imagine I heard the Mintons say this recently, when we have gone through what was momentary devastation and the loss of somebody we love, we didn't know so many people loved us, and we've been overwhelmed with the outpouring of what's happened to our family in these days. God, in that measure, is revealing what he is like, because this morning we saw in the text that Jesus moved with compassion. The Jesus in you is moved with compassion and shares compassion and love with others, and that is part of the glory of God, where God is revealing himself. And I have never seen an image of God, a theophany or Christophany, it's called, where it appears, this must be a supernatural manifestation of God. But I've seen a supernatural manifestation of God in the lives of people as they extended themselves to an undeserved sinner in ways that's overwhelming. Folks, you can't take but so much gratitude. You can't take but so much blessing. But what gratitude in your heart wells up and starts running out your eyes. That's what it will do to you. And so our God is tender, he's loving, he's concerned, he wants you to grow. When you fall down flat on your face, he wants you to get up. He will help you get up if you will ask him. He will never leave you in some suspended state. Back in the day when I shot a little pool, they used the word when somebody had made their play and you had access now to the cue ball. The problem was you couldn't reach any ball you had. They called that stymied. I don't have a play I can make. And in life, sometimes you are stymied and you don't see a play that can be made. I tell you what you do have. You have a God who can open up a way. When there is no way, He makes a way. And He will be to you what nobody can be. He will not leave you in your spiritual life stonewall. He will not say when you have gone down into the valley and you've lost some of your renewal that's in your life, He will not say, "Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you did it to yourself. You acted stupid and you knew better. Stay there." He'll never say that. Now, you may have some family members that say that. You may have some neighbors that say that. You may have some so-called friends that will say that, but you'll never have God say that. Never. So desire enough to ask Him, be certain of your relationship, and trust His nature. Folks, if you will just look once again at what you know, it's part of the ABCs of the Christian experience. The nature of God is not anything like me. And if there's anything about me that's like the nature of God, it's because His grace has worked there. He's not ugly like Brother Wayne can be ugly. He's not selfish like Brother Wayne can be selfish. He doesn't have a bad attitude like Brother Wayne can have a bad attitude. He's nothing like that. He is glorious, and that's the word that's used in Scripture to say this is all that God has said about Himself, and you won't find anybody like Him. One of the great mistakes that we make is thinking that God is like some folks on earth. No. Hallelujah. He's always holy. He's always harmless. He's always undefiled. And He's always separate from sinners. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, the best parent ever lived sometimes can do something that's not very harmless. Now, I reverence my parents tonight as much as I ever have, and probably more than I ever did. But you know, once in a while they could be wrong about something. And I don't mean when they took a toy away either. I mean they could get maybe a little carried away. God won't ever get carried away. Everything He ever does is moved out of holiness, mercy, love, compassion for your good. I probably shared with you that when I would get disciplined, which wasn't very much, I learned in a hurry. I'd hear my mother say, I think she's the one who said it, Dad never did say it. I tried my best to stay away from both of them. They both had degrees in fanny whipping, so I didn't want anything to do with that. But my mom would say, "Son, this hurts me worse than it does you." Boy, and I didn't say it. I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. I thought, you want to pull over, lay across this chair and pull your woman down and let me do that? No. But, you know, they did know. They saw something in me that if it doesn't get correction, it's going to be a bad, bad scene down the road. That's why we discipline them, not to get a pound of flesh, not because we're angry, but we love them so much. Me whipping you is going to be a whole lot better than God having to discipline you, because you got it tough coming your way if you don't hear me. Now, with those three things said about getting help from God, what are the signs of renewal as renewal starts to come into us? Look at the latter part of verse 16. After He said that He'd grant you according to the riches of His glory, He said, first of all, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So the first thing you're going to find when renewal comes, there's going to be added spiritual strength. Do you see that? When He says strengthen with might by His Spirit, He means literally you're going to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now, do you know what the inner man is? That's your human spirit. When we say that a person has a bad spirit, we don't mean, speaking of a Christian, that the Holy Spirit's having a bad day. We mean that the human spirit that should be filled and under the control of the Holy Spirit is not in that moment filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul is praying that they will be strengthened with might and power and energy that comes from the Holy Spirit inside the human spirit. My human spirit needs to be made more like the image of the Holy Spirit. The human spirit is the fundamental element of our nature. All of us are what we are on the inside. Nobody, you know, in this world that talks constantly about, because there is tons too much of it, abuse. Nobody ever abused anybody else until first that was in their spirit. Nobody ever cursed anybody else but what that wasn't first in their spirit. The real issue of my Christianity and yours is how do we think? For as we think in our hearts with the inner man, so are we. And when the human spirit gets full of hate and venom and poison and lust and pornography and you name it on down the line, that is because there is now a different spirit controlling your human spirit. And Paul said, what you are needing, you're out of sorts and you're not spiritually renewed, but you sure do need it. And we need the driving out of the influence that's in your spirit. And we want you to be strengthened literally by the power of the Holy Spirit, literally the Holy Spirit, inside of you. And you say, well, Pastor, I thought we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we were saved. We were, but when you do not acknowledge Him, yield to Him, and honor Him in your heart for who He is, then you start thinking thoughts that are raised up against the knowledge of God. Well, God knows when your thoughts are against His knowledge. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Your thoughts are being exalted against, in opposition to, at war with the knowledge of God. And that's why when you and I have one thought, just one, that we know is not in keeping with Scripture, once we come to that knowledge, that is a mandate from heaven, when you get it together, are they about to eat your lunch? And you don't have the privilege of walking around dwelling on somebody or something or some issue. I'm talking about just plain old selfishness, which, by the way, is at the root of everything that we do that's ungodly. If you could ever deal with selfishness, you wouldn't commit another sin. The reason a man has an affair is because he's selfish. I'd sure like to have that, and I don't care if it hurts my wife. Same reason a woman wants to have an affair with a man. He's just a better man, my husband. I deserve that. I'd like to have that, and I don't care if it hurts and kills him. I just want to have that to take place. Now, let me make us all so uncomfortable we're going to just grunt. The reason we eat enough for three people when we sit down at the table is because it tastes good. And I don't care what it does to my body because that will satisfy me. So in my selfishness, I'm going to eat all I want to eat. And for the moment, because that appeals to my flesh, I don't care what God thinks about it. You say, I would never say that. No, but that's how we act. And I didn't say how you act. I said that's how we act. It happens in Brother Wayne's life just like it does yours. And so what happens is the Father, because He is aware that when we are renewed, He gives us a fresh infusion of spiritual strength by His Spirit into our spirit. And our human spirit begins to drink from, and that means to nourish from the Spirit of God. And as we nourish our inner man from the Spirit of God, all of a sudden we become revitalized. Revival, renewal, refreshment, revitalization. The four words that could describe, as far as I can understand it, and I've asked people to share with me, if you can share with me different, every church in America needs right now. Every church. I've asked, you don't want to know the people I've asked, hey, I rejoice at anything God's doing at y'all's church. I just want to ask you this question. Do you know anywhere in America right now that God is at work doing enough to stir up a dust in the middle of an old country road, and every one of them drops their head and said, no, Pastor, I don't. We don't see any signs of revival. Our churches are not having revival. I don't think we're praying much for revival. I don't think the average church member realizes that the God of heaven, who is the only one sovereign Lord, can by His Spirit move into the human spirits of the redeemed. Now, if He moves into the spirit of one who's lost, you call that salvation. But when saved people get to live in raunchy, Folks, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you with an honest heart that the problems in America are lost people. Don't you kid yourself. Many of the problems in America are people who claim to be saved. Some of them seldom go to church, and many of them can be at church every Sunday. And they come in carnal, and they go out carnal, and they act like babies, and they're selfish, and they want their way. Vance Havner said, we've come to the place, I don't know what he'd say today, he'd turn over in his grave if he knew this. He said, we've come to the place where now, if the prophet of God gets up and preaches the word of God, they stick out their lips and say, I'm not coming back, he's changed my formula. Because the wickedness of my flesh and yours is constantly wanting to be told how good we are, what a great job we're doing, and we do not want to be confronted with our own immaturity and our slack of spiritual renewal. So God is in need of refreshing and revitalizing us. So that's the first sign. The second sign is in verse 17. Look at that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You're strengthened by the Spirit so that Christ can dwell. Do you know what D-W-E-L-L means? He wants to make your heart his permanent home and be very comfortable there. Have you ever been to a home somewhere, and I dare hope this is not the case, but even in your own home, you wasn't made to feel comfortable? Do you know that some people, the last place they want to go is home? They don't feel comfortable there. They're not treated very good there. We teach our little old children in honor, prefer one another. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Folks, that needs to happen in the home far worse than it needs to happen at church. If we can get it to happen at home, it will happen at church. When we come together as the people of God, we're just bringing whatever's in our home for good or bad. And so he wants to be at home in our hearts. And the added strength in your spirit enables you to sense the presence of the Lord in your life. You know when God's done something inside of you. You sense that freshness in your heart, the excitement that is there. Folks, if God let himself loose and we were willing to ask him, wonder what would happen in under 7 days' time at the Morningside Baptist Church. What would David 2 say to me? Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. Brother or sister so-and-so hadn't been in the choir in 10 years, and here they come. We got this one, and this one, who I don't know if they were ever in the orchestra or not, but here they are. They want to be in the orchestra. They just want the fullness of God in them to be expressed some way. And this one is wanting to do that by playing an instrument. This one's wanting to do that by singing. John Yates would say, I don't have a place right at the moment. I got somebody wanting to teach men. And I got somebody wanting to teach women. Folks, when God fills up what's here, it starts coming out. And the way it comes out, the joy of the Lord has become our strength. And we are aware of the presence of God, because that added spiritual strength brings us to the awareness that God is at work in my life. And the key there, if you notice, looking back at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, two words, by faith. Now, folks, when our faith in God, and our faith in God means that our trust that everything he said is true and we're going to act on it. Remember, faith is a verb, we act on it. Faith is when we act on what God says. And the key term by faith, we become weak in our faith and we become failing in our faith when we don't strongly believe what God said. Now, I hope the rest of the church, we do appreciate each other for our tithing and giving and our praying. But I'm going to tithe and I'm going to give and I'm going to pray whether you ever appreciate it or whether you like it or not, because it is the avenue of blessing as the God who's working in my life is wanting to express himself through me. And our lives, as the old hymn writer said, is to be a channel of blessing. And you know what happens to a pool of water that doesn't have an outlet? It becomes stagnant. And the greatest example of that is the Dead Sea, where nothing grows in there. And there'll be no growth in here when your life is not a channel. I would refuse to be a member of a church I couldn't do something. Folks, I can stand somewhere and shake hands with people and greet folks and love on them. But you'd be amazed how many people just let me have a place to go sit down and sit and do nothing, and I'll be my happy. Don't confront me with nothing. Don't mess with me. I'm uncomfortable with that. So what they want to do is hopefully come to the end of their life, and they don't realize this, but die and go to hell because they've never had enough of God inside of them to want to even say, well, praise God for what he's done in my life. They've never said that. They think if somebody at church says, praise God, next bus coming through town, put them on it to seminary. We got to get him out of here. Folks, it's normal for God's people to have been touched by God to say, hallelujah, I'm not all I need to be, but I'll tell you, God is at work in my life, and I'm so happy about what he's doing, I don't know what to do about it. That ought to be true with every one of us. So what happens when the infusion of God's Holy Spirit begins to work in us, it reawakens our faith, and we begin again to believe what God said, and that motivation takes us to new heights of love and service and ministry. And the most fundamental fact of the Christian life is that Jesus has come to live inside of me. Now, if you miss that, folks, in your life, you've missed the whole show. Jesus came, and we read this morning where he said, don't y'all get to thinking this is me. This is not me. This is the Father working through me. And our understanding ought to be, oh, this is not us. I have Christ living in me, Paul said, who is the hope of glory. And when you miss that fact, God help you if you think that when you got saved, you got fire insurance, and you just got to, quote, make it the best way you can. Well, folks, you're not going to make it at all because you never have been able to get to heaven, and me either. We're going to go by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. We're not going. And if we are going to heaven, have you thought about your heart telling your face, this is a wonderful thing? Because many times God's people are very unhappy people. We're just unhappy. I don't care for my Sunday school teacher. I don't care for this person. She talks too much. I don't care for him because he does this. I don't care for this. That. See, all you can talk about is I, what I like, what I want, what's mine, what's me. Folks, the Christian life is a life about him. And praise God, he's living in me, and it is a different kind of life. Well, there's a third thing, and that's in the latter part of verse 17 when he made this statement. After Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So the third thing of, as a sign of renewal is that you'll have the assurance that you are loved. Boy, how important is that? Being rooted, that means strong. Being grounded, that means to be founded and established. You know, folks, when it comes to plants and buildings, a plant's got to be rooted and a building's got to be founded. That's why we talk about the foundation of a building. And a plant without a root system's going to die, and a building without being founded on the proper thing is going to crumble. Our spiritual root system and our foundation cannot be, according to that verse there, anything other than becoming to us the assurance that God loves us. God does not endorse everything Brother Wayne does, but God does accept me, and we are precious to him. Did you ever have a child you just so disappointed in you could have pinched his or her head off even with their shoulders, but you loved them? You didn't want anything bad happening to them. You was just put out that they knew better than to do what they did. God, on occasion, can get put out with us, but we are precious to him. He doesn't have anything foul in his understanding or in his spirit. When we know that we are loved by God, then we know who we are and we have a sense of well-being. Now, I've already alluded to it. I received more than one whipping growing up. Not a bunch, but I did get some. And I knew that if I misbehaved, what home was going to be like. But can I tell you what else I knew home was going to be? I'm going to have some folks there that love me. In fact, I'm not only going to have some folks there that love me, I've got some folks there that love me more than anywhere else in all the world. They love me enough to keep, to not let me have my way. And I don't know that my mom and dad ever knew how to spell psychology. And I'm being sincere with that. But James Dobson said, let me tell you what a child will do. A child will push you, mom and dad, to find out, do you love me enough to tell me no? And folks, God loves us enough to tell us no. And he told us when we got to Hebrews that if you are without chastisement as a child of God, then you are not a son, you are illegitimate. And that God chastens all that he loves. That love, again, that chastening, again, that God gives is not to get a pound of flesh or to get even. It is God saying, I love you. I've got big plans for you, and you're going to mess your life up. And he will step into your existence and mess up your plan in order to fulfill his own. The next one is in verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. Look at it. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? Now, folks, going to be able to comprehend with who? What does the rest of that verse say? Comprehend what? With who? All the what? Saints. That's other believers. So you have active fellowship with other believers when you're having spiritual renewal. When we are renewed in our spirit, we don't want to miss church. We love God's people. We want to reach out and relate to others. We want to lay hold, as we do so, the breadth and length and the height and the depth of all that God is and wants to do in our life. We want to remember what God has in store for us is good. And I want to say to us tonight and warn that God never intended that we live in isolation from each other. I tell you, I will watch people lose their sense of spiritual strength, and I will watch them bottom out. And before long, they have withdrawn, and you don't see them at church anymore, and they're not going anywhere else because you inquire about them. And the reason you don't go to them every time is that you'll lose a friend permanently if you say anything to them, because they've got the barriers up and they don't want to be messed with. And the moment you isolate yourself from God's people, you're in serious trouble, because you can't live the Christian life by yourself. And we've all got warts, and we're all less than we need to be. But the sorriest bunch of God's people, if they're really trying to be God's people, you need every last one of them. God may use the one with faults to remind you, you don't need to be like that. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever seen something on somebody's body? Boy, that's a terrible looking place. And the first thing you think is, oh my Lord, I wouldn't want that. And maybe why God's got some people around you in the church that can't keep their mouth shut. They can't have a good attitude. They've got the spiritual gift of walking in a room, making half the room mad just by showing up. He may be telling you, now don't you be that way. What we do understand is that when God gets to working in us, we need active fellowship with believers, and we don't isolate from them. And the last thing is verse 19. And to know, that's a key word I'm going to tell you about, K-N-O-W, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, means you can't know it, not fully. And that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's what he's saying in that verse. In order to have this spiritual renewal, you got to have some very authentic, meaningful experiences. And here's where I get that. When he said in that 19th verse, and to know, it means experientially know. Not just know in your head the love of Christ. And he said, it passes, if you look at it, knowledge. In other words, you can come to know some things about God from experience that are unknowable. But you know them because you've experienced them. They're mystery to other people. They've not been revealed, but they've been revealed to you. You can experience the indescribable. And through this, he says in verse 19, you can experience this that you might be filled with the fullness of God. And folks, going back to where we started, what do we all desire? We want to be full, filled full of the fullness of God. Lord, I want every bit of you I can receive. But Lord, I know that I'm very hypocritical as well as ignorant if I think that I'm going to get all of you without giving all of me. Lord, I want every bit of you here, 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 here. Now, Lord, I'm willing to give you this, 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 and this. But right here, Lord, you can't have this. But Lord, I do want every bit of this right here, every bit of it, every inch of it. But Lord, not all of me. And the truth of it is, you have as much of Jesus as Paul had. The question we all need to ask is, does Jesus have as much of me as he had of Paul? I tell you how much Jesus has of me and how much he has of you. All that we will surrender. I've had people, you know, folks, a pastor, if it can be stated in English, I've had it stated to me 5 times. Pastor, I've tried to keep my mouth shut and I just can't. No, there's so much of you, there's no God present. If you're willing for that to die, I'll promise you there will be a Spirit of God, the Father, who will take over you and fill that part of your human spirit.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to let God do what only he can do, which you and I, if we live 500 years, will never be able to do. Because these, we're trying to deal with matters that we call supernatural, because they are to us. But for God, it's a picnic. Do you think God has to strain to save somebody?
Never.
You and I strain to witness to them because they're doing us this way. And all God's got to do, and I don't want to make God too human when I say this, all God's got to do tomorrow after that person has told you to shut up and don't you ever mention Jesus to me again, tomorrow when that guy's unsuspecting, God's watching, here's what's going to happen, and God sticks his foot out and he trips and breaks his neck nearly and finds himself over at South Georgia Medical Center, and for some strange reason, he thinks back less than 24 hours ago, he told some folks, you shut up and don't you ever mention Jesus to me again, and while laying on, over there on that bed, who do you reckon he thinks he needs? Jesus. Because the friend that wanted to tell him about Jesus can't do nothing for him. And he's thinking, probably don't want to after I told him off. Folks, this ain't hard for God. Not at all. He can change your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, and even more importantly, folks, are y'all listening? He can still change me, and he can still change you. And we got to remember it starts by praying. We've got to believe we're in on the relationship. And we got to believe that he's desirous to do something we really want him to. I don't have a clue what God has spoken to you and what you need to do. I'm just going to pray and say, Lord, may we do both privately and anything that might need to be public. Brother David will be coming while I'm praying to lead us in a time of commitment. But it's time, folks, to let God be God and pray for spiritual renewal. And I'm hypocritical if I pray like this. Lord, I love this church. Those people won't ever know how much I love them. Now, y'all remember I'm illustrating something with this. I'm not really praying this way, but I'd be hypocritical if I did and said, Lord, they don't understand how often my heart is broken, how the nights I'm sleepless, how that they're sitting out there with a lot of resources that could be put to use and they don't want to give it. They don't want to do it. They have time to do ministry, but they're serving other gods that are not going to mount to anything. Lord, this church needs some renewal and I beg you to send it. And I never do say this, but God, I don't need you messing with me. Folks, serious praying says, God, this church could stand renewal, but I'm a hypocrite if I don't say, let it start with me. That's where it needs to start. So our Father, tonight we do pray, and we want to say what the old songwriter said, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of renewal. And as we bow before you in this moment for whatever you've spoken, for whatever application your Spirit has made in my heart and in each of our hearts, you are the God who knows everything about us, who can tailor make exactly what it is I need and each one of your children need. So may tonight there be a sweet willingness and, Lord, a passion that you come and deal with me. Lord, let me for a moment forget my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband. Lord, just deal with me. And Lord, if you would renew my spirit, then no telling what will happen in my life among those I love. And I pray, oh God, that your will shall truly be done. Lord, I have a way of getting in the way of you, and I don't want to do that. So let me understand that which can't be understood humanly. And let me experience with experiential knowledge the blessing of you in my life as you renew me in this moment and in these hours and days to come. And it is in Jesus' name that we make these our prayers. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor? Brother David leads us. If you need the altar.